Dear intercessors, the title of my message this week is The Calm Before the Storm. I want to say from the beginning that even though this is a very serious and even alarming message, it is most of all a message full of hope and encouragement that I want to give to all of you this week. And I'm going to begin by reading from the Sermon on the Mount, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So even though storms are coming, and I believe that great storms are ahead of us, it is possible to build our lives in such a way that we can stand no matter the storm that we will face. So that is the hope that I want to give in this message. I believe that most people today, they have started to calm down after all the hysteria and all the fear surrounded the COVID pandemic that broke in 2020. And now we're beginning to settle down and go back to normal again, so to speak. What I want to say to each one of you, what we're experiencing right now is only the calm before the storm, the great storm that is ahead. The Word of God is very clear about that. It is going to be a time of testing that is going to come upon the world in the end times. So I can say this based on the Word of God, but I can also say this based on information that is out there today for anyone who cares to look at it. Now, this whole prayer movement that I'm leading right now called Nordic 714, it began on January 12, early in the morning, when the Lord woke me up with the following words. What is happening right now in Sweden, and that's my home country, but it's happening all over the world, the Spirit told me what is happening now in Sweden is part of a strategic plan to break down society in order to implement the dictatorship of the Antichrist. Well, those words were truly alarming and startled me when I heard them. And people began to ridicule me when I started to talk about these things, and they said, well, who is it that is planning to break down society? Give us the names. Who are these people? I didn't have an answer, more than I knew, of course, that it's ultimately the enemy who is behind this. But today, it is very clear that there are certain super rich people who are planning right now to take the complete control over the world in different ways. And the way that they are going to do it is by implementing a complete socialist dictatorship globally. One of the actors, of course, is the World Economic Forum. Most people know about the World Economic Forum through their annual meetings in Davos in Switzerland, normally in January every year. where global leaders, those who are politicians or influencers of different kinds, are invited to come to secret meetings and where they are talking about the future of the world. In one of the latest meetings, the founder of the World Economic Forum, and actually the World Economic Forum is a foundation that is privately owned by one person and his family. His name is Klaus Schwab. He founded it in 1972, if I think I'm right, possibly 1971, and he's still the leader of this organization. Now, he told the people who had gathered there in Switzerland the following.
Let's also be clear. The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world.
Very clear. They are gathered to create the future for the whole world. This is a clear fulfillment of what is described, for instance, in the second Psalm, where it says from verse 1, "Why do the nations rage and peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." This is, of course, the anointed is Moshiach, Messiah in Hebrew. It is Christos or Christ in Greek. So against is anti. This is those who are plotting against Christ. It's an anti-Christ conspiracy, if you would, to reject the Messiah. They say in verse 3, it says, they're saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." Of course, it says in that, then it continues to say, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.'" God's plan will come to pass. And when they think they have everything in their hands, so to speak, to do what they want to do with the world, that's when God is going to declare with fury that I have my king that I have ordained, and I have ordained him to rule from Zion, that is from Jerusalem, over the whole world. Hallelujah. So God is still in control. He laughs at these people who think that they can rebel against him. But Paul makes clear before the Messiah comes, the Antichrist rebellion must first take place. And that is what's described here. And that's what we see now before our eyes. The World Economic Forum is now openly cooperating with the United Nations in a plan over the next year or 15 months that I want to tell you about. It's happening now very, very quickly. Their plan is to take a complete control over every individual on the planet through a new digital ID, a QR code that every person will be given that can show authorities everything about us. That is the foundation, that's the very cornerstone in their plan for the future of the world, to have an absolute control over every individual.
More and more people, businesses, devices, and things are interacting online. And the topic here today, digital identity, sits at the heart of those interactions. How we construct and use digital identities would determine how people are represented online, what opportunities they have access to, what or who is trusted online. So it's quite a foundational role that identity plays in digital economies and societies.
What is not maybe known by so many, but it's also very public, this is not conspiracy theories, crazy, just ideas that people imagine. It is clearly stated by leaders who work together with World Economic Forum and the UN. They do not say this openly, but they let others that they work together with openly declare what their desire and their goal is. And that is to, listen to this, it's staggering, to limit or diminish, I should say, not limit, but to diminish the world's population with 85%.
In one way or another, we are so far, globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels which can be supported by this planet that I know in one way or another it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. The planet can support something like a billion people, maybe 2 billion, depending on how much liberty and how much material consumption you want to have.
That's what they have in mind. They want to get rid of 85% of the population in the world. They say that's the only way that there will be a sustainable future for the world. It's a complete lie. It's a rebellion against God. Their agenda is an antichrist, end-time Babylonian agenda. And it's these super-rich people who are behind it. Just like, you know, it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, where we read in at the end of verse 23 about Babylon, it says, your merchants were the great ones on earth. And that's what we see right now. I don't have time to go into many details about this, but more and more they are taking the control away from governments and beginning to control the governments and removing things from their authority into the hands of these few, this elite, these super rich people who are gathered, for instance, in Davos every year. Your merchants were the great ones on the earth, of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. The Greek word for sorcery is pharmakeia, and it's from this we have the word in English pharmacy. And it's interesting that one of the most wealthy people on the earth is the main force behind the vaccines that are now being promoted all over the world, Bill Gates. He's the one who's using his wealth for this purpose, and he's making a lot of money. So, because they have an agenda to vaccinate every person on the place of the earth, that is set between 7 and 8 billion people. You don't have to have that much profit from every vaccine to make a lot of money from them. So, but anyway, here we see, so the pharmaceutical industry is part of the plan to that the rich people have to take control over the world, and that the book of Revelation so clearly shows us. So what about this now agenda over the next 15 months? Well, in 15 months, let me start by the end, there is going to be a meeting at the UN called Summit for the Future. And at that time, they are going to decide on a new program for the world in cooperation with the World Economic Forum. UN and the World Economic Forum, in other words, working closely together in this, to decide on something that they call Our Common Agenda. It's an updated and slightly revised version of Agenda 2030, through which they will change the world and the future of the world, they say. And one of the slogans that they use for the future that they envision is a young man who is saying, I own nothing, but I am happy. In other words, every individual will be dependent on people who are going to supply them with whatever they think that they need. And so these super rich people who are in opposition to God, they are the ones who will be in control to own everything, and then through their mercy and their generosity provide everybody on the planet what they are worthy to receive, actually. So a cornerstone in this agenda is to give every individual on the planet a new identity called that is based on a QR code. And this QR code is going to give you not just information about your name and your birth and so forth, like in Social Security identity cards today, or other IDs that we have. No, it is going to be able to also show how much of carbon dioxide you are emitting into the atmosphere. How? Well, how much you drive your car, how much meat that you eat, and how much you travel, and on and on and on. It can also show exactly how many vaccines you have taken, if you have followed the instructions for the what diseases you have, or the diagnosis that you have medically, and the medicines that you take. If you are entitled to a bank account, or the digital currency that is now going to be connected with this new identity QR code. And let me say before I forget it, by the way, when it comes to the Summit for the Future in the UN in September next year, they will also decide that the World Health Organization will have the sole authority to decide for the whole world what measures every country, every nation must take in case there is a new pandemic or health risk in the world. The ones who will decide if there is a pandemic or a health risk will be the leaders of the World Health Organization. And every government in the world will have no authority over this. They will just have to submit to the directives that these unelected officials in the World Health Organization will give out. If you have to, if there has to be locked, what everybody must take, and on and on and on. The COVID pandemic was just a rerun, a test for the real complete control that they are planning to implement for the future. Let me mention a few more things here that this QR code will be able to track. Everywhere you travel, whatever you buy on the internet, if you follow the rules that give you access to the internet and what your habits are on the internet, what sites you go to, and if you have permission to use mobile phones, what you eat and how much you drink of alcohol, how much you consume, and how much energy that you are requiring for your lifestyle, so, and how much water you use, and on and on and on. This is what can, all of this can be detected on this QR code to give the governments of the world complete tools to control every individual on the planet. And so this is a slavery. This is a Marxist dictatorship that they are planning to implement all over the world.
Do you think what we did during COVID could usher in our version of a social credit system?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, that's highly probable.
And that it will be accepted by many people because, again, that yearning for safety.
Then they won't notice even. You can't believe how much people don't know these things. When I went to the UK, I talked to some people from the House of Lords. This is within the last 6 months. The most astute of the people sitting in the House of Lords had only become aware of the woke movement in the last 18 months. People have no idea. It's like, well, why not have a digital passport? I mean, you know, how convenient. It's like, fair enough, and you can understand that. Wouldn't it be nice if we could pay for everything with our phones? It's like, wouldn't it be nice if the central government, who's woke oriented and makes carbon dioxide remediation the priority, knows exactly what you spend on everything so they can target you tax wise with precision? It's like, oh, didn't think about that. It's like, yeah, you sure didn't. And oh yes, it's highly probable it'll be a miracle if we escape from that. You can see these signs of this everywhere. You know, when you go through airports now, there's a lot of automated barriers. You show your passports, like, well, these are automated barriers. What if you can't go through them? Well, that's the situation for many people in China. It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to argue with the machine? Like, you just cannot imagine how screwed you are. There isn't, it's way worse than anything Kafka ever imagined. Because at least with Kafka, there was bureaucrats, faceless though they may have been, they were at least still human. Once the machines can lock you out, you are in such trouble, and we're speeding towards that with an immense lack of care.
But the encouraging thing that the Lord spoke to me this week when we were praying, I want you to listen to this famous Bible verse from the book of Romans, chapter 5, and the end of verse 20. So powerful. It says, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. What an encouragement. We can expect now, as the sin will increase in the world, ungodliness, unrighteousness, evil, the darkness that is going to come upon the world, that's not the whole story. In that situation that will come to pass, according to the Word of God, we can also expect that God's grace is going to abound to those who give their lives completely to Him in the end times. Hallelujah. To raise up God's people as an army that is going to spread the gospel and that is going to be able to reach the world with the gospel. It is going to be come to its fullness in the end times, in the midst of the increased sin and lawlessness. That's when we can expect that grace is going to abound even more. Now, it's very important when we talk about grace to understand that grace is so much more than forgiveness for sin, which is what most Christians just think about when they hear the word grace, that it's, you know, God will forgive, it's okay, we don't have to worry about sin too much because God's grace is sufficient and it will cover all sin. Well, that is a very small part of what grace means in the Bible. And I'm going to read here from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, to make a definition of what grace in the Bible is all about. Paul writes, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Listen now, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So here Paul is saying that he is what he is, and he became the greatest apostle to the Gentiles of all of the apostles because of God's grace. And he was able to do more than all the others, but he said, not I, it was the grace of God that was with me. So a definition here we can get from these verses here is that the grace of God is God's power and ability to become what God wants us to be, and his power and ability to do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. That's the grace that the Bible talks about, to be what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do and has called us to do. So God is going to give us that grace even more in a time when sin will increase in the world as never before. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Messiah Yeshua." So we can read, be strengthened by the power and the ability of God that is accessible to you in Messiah Yeshua. That's the grace in which we now stand. We have been reconciled with God, and we now have been, let's read about that in again in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2, actually. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand." Hallelujah. Through faith we have obtained access to the grace, the power and the ability of God working in our lives to make us able to be what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. That is what is going to overflow in a time when sin is going to abound as never before. Wherever sin abounds, grace will abound even more. For where sin increased, it says here, grace abounded all the more. That's a powerful encouragement to us in view of the evil that is going to come in the end times. And I want to read also from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, where Paul also talks about this thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7. "So, to keep me from becoming conceited or puffed up because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Three times, I mean, this is very serious, an angel of Satan harassing Paul. What a difficult thing. But here, so that's why we read in verse 8 first, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me, that this harassment should go away, that Satan would not be able to harass me and plague me like he is doing. But what answer did he get from the Lord? But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient. My power and ability to be what I want you to be and to do what I want you to do is enough for you. For my power or this grace is made perfect in weakness.'" My power and ability in us, God's grace in us, is going to become made perfect in weakness. And therefore, it says here, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Messiah may rest upon me. For the sake of Messiah, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." These are the things we are going to face in the end times. Satan is going to be let loose on the earth to harass God's people. But in this weakness, in these weaknesses, and these insults, these hardships, these persecutions, and these calamities, it is in those circumstances that the grace of God is going to abound, that the grace of God is going to be sufficient to carry us over all of these circumstances. So we are living at a time when not only sin will be increasing more and more, we're living also in the time where grace on God's people, to those who give their hearts completely to Him, it will increase even more. That's why it says in 2 Chronicles that the eyes of the Lord are going all over the earth, seeking those whose hearts are fully yielded to Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf. You and I can become one of those people whose hearts are completely yielded to Him. And when we submit to Him in that way, humble ourselves before God to build our lives upon the rock of God's Word, God's grace is going to be given to us to become, I wouldn't want to say supermen, but we're going to be full of the power of God. It says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That is a command, that we are to be strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. If that is a command, that means that it is possible for us to become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And if God is for us, who can be against us? No angel of Satan, no persecution, no suffering, no insults, no weakness, nothing can stop us when God's grace is upon us. And that grace is going to be given to His people, to the church in the end times, for those who give themselves completely to Him. Now, I want to also end here with two more important things. The first is a principle in view of the horrible things that are now being planned for the world by a powerful, wicked, super-rich elite. And but ultimately, God is ruling over them. And in view of this, it says in Matthew 24 about this difficult time that is going to come. In verse 21, it says that it's going to be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. So in this context, then the believers in Jerusalem are going to have to flee to the mountains. And it's a principle here that I want to bring out. The previous verse says then, in view of this hardship and this flight that has to take place, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. So prayer can make a lot of difference in the hard times that are ahead of us. Through prayer, we will be able to escape a lot of the hardships as well. That's another side of the coin here, that these hardships that will come upon the world, it will force us to become more and more dependent on God. And certain, when we are dependent on God, crying out to Him, praying to Him, we will also be able to escape some of the difficulties. Because it's going to force us to pray as never before. So we can pray that we can avoid unnecessary suffering. That is very important to remember. That's why it's so important to have a powerful personal prayer life so that we can escape what is coming and stand before the Son of Man. But the second thing that I want us also to look at is from the book of Ezekiel. Most of you are familiar with the verse in chapter 22 and verse 30, where it says, I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. For most of us, this has been applied to intercessory prayer that can protect our nations from judgments coming upon our nations. But I would say there is an even more important application, maybe not more important, but it is another side of this, how to build up a wall of protection in the end times. And for that, I will go to chapter 13 and read verse 5 about, this is spoken negatively about false prophets. It says, you have not gone up into the breaches or built up a wall for me, a wall for the house of Israel, in other words, for God's people, that it might stand in battle in the day of the Lord. So the false prophets, they were failing in this task to build up a wall of protection around God's people. But that means that the true prophets, they will be able to do the opposite. They will be able to raise up this wall of protection for God's people so that they can stand in the day of battle. And that's what we need to pray for. These ministers of the Word of God that can speak the truth to prepare God's people for what is coming, that will proclaim truth, that can spare people from the lies and the deceptions of the Antichrist, so that it will not have free reign to deceive people and cause them to perish forever. No, the true prophets, they can build up a hedge of protection against those lies from the enemy. Now, the false prophets, what marked them so much was that they always said, peace, peace, when there was no peace. All is well, no danger, just continue as you are and just enjoy life. There's no problem. That was the message primarily of the false prophets, because they spoke a message that people wanted to hear. The true prophets, they speak the truth, warning God's people to hide themselves in the cleft of the rock, to hide themselves in Messiah, to be sheltered in the day of trouble, that they can stand when the storms come, that they can build their lives on the solid rock, which is the Word of God, so that the storms will not destroy them when they come. The foolish people are those who are being deceived because they are just listening to false prophets telling them what they want to hear, not the truth that can convict of sin, causing them to repent from sin, turn away from God, to live pure and holy lives. That's what the false prophets are unable to do. But the true prophets, they bring people to repentance so that they can be right with God and thereby stand in the difficult days that are ahead. Count on God's grace being sufficient when you give your heart completely to the Lord. And then also build your life on the solid rock of the Word of God in obedience to the Word of God. Study it faithfully, continually, and apply the truths in God's Word into your life practically. Thereby you can build a solid life of a foundation that can withstand all the storms and the floods that will come. But thirdly, please pray. And that is so much of our calling in this prayer movement. Pray that God will raise up those true prophets that can build up the wall around God's people by proclaiming the truth, by speaking the Word of God and causing people to submit themselves to God, to repent, turn from sin, and get right with God so that they can stand when trouble comes. We're praying for this Gideon 300 army of prophetic anointed ministers of the gospel in the end times to be raised up in the Nordic countries. For you who are listening to this and are part of this prayer movement, Nordic 714. But wherever you are in the world, pray that God will raise up those laborers that will go out to proclaim the truth and become a shelter around God's people in the difficult days that are ahead. May he found those who can stand in the gap and build up the wall around our God's people in the days ahead. Thank you for listening. Let's pray before we end. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have warned us through your prophets in the Word of God for the things that are coming, for the things that lie ahead in the future, in the end times. And we know that the future is upon us right now. The agenda to take control, the Antichrist agenda of global control is taking place before our very eyes right now. Father, I pray for each one that is listening to cry out to you with all of their hearts, to be right with you, to submit themselves to your word, and that you will most of all call each and every one into the secret place where they go into their prayer closets to faithfully intercede, not just for themselves, but also for others, that you can save a mighty remnant in these end times. We pray for these laborers to be thrust out into the harvest fields to secure a mighty harvest for you in these last days. We thank you that you promised to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh in the end times, and that when sin abounds, grace is going to abound even more to those who give themselves to you with all of their hearts. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, regardless of what the future holds. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you as you stand with us in intercessory prayer for God to raise up these mighty warriors for the Lord in the end times. Shalom.